So it is Wednesday, February 26, 2020. This is a finance committee meeting. Our discussion here is to review the funding of community programs and to talk about the DSA. It is about 8:05. Present are committee members, myself, Mary Westphal, Mark Fry, Patrick Richardson, Doug Hanen will be joining us shortly. Also with us from administration, we have Mr. Schreier, Mr. Sanford, Mrs. Brining, and we have the mayor with us. Also from council, additional members, we have Lindsay Chow, Brian McKeon, and Katie Capellini. And so we're happy to get started. I'll share with you, I sent a message out in advance to the committee members, and I also included other council members. I think everyone in the room probably got it. I see the agenda as being two primary pieces of discussion. One is focused on the actual policy that's in place and to have discussion around whether we think that that is still adequate based on what we're seeing in the community program, and then to make a decision regarding the DSA funding. I don't see this as an opportunity to discuss all of our projects and all of our community programs. And the reason for that is this is not a budget time. We've made those decisions for this year, but I think it'll be very important as we look to the budget for next year that we're clear about what we're expecting from everybody in terms of those responses. So I would share with you that I'd like to kind of take a quick glance at the actual policy first in case something that we say in the policy affects the decisions for the DSA, and that we're also all very clear about that policy and the things that the DSA, how they came to present for themselves. We might need a little information from administration about how our communication with our community organizations is managed so that we know that they're aware of the guidelines and have access to that information as well. So with that, I just would refer us to, did everyone get that resolution? So I think, again, it's pretty good. One of the things that I would question for the group is we do say that in writing no fewer than 90 days before the final council meeting of the calendar year should be a request for the funding. It's a little confusing as you read through this. I believe that that request is only based on if they have an interest in an increase. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So technically, if somebody would like to just continue their funding, do they even need to put a letter to us saying that? Everybody has done that, but technically they're not required to. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you look at the paragraph under Section 1 under numbers 1 and number 2, and look at the paragraph under there, it talks about if the funding's going to remain the same.
They're not really.
They're not required to do anything, yeah.
Okay. I do think that I'd like to suggest that we consider a change there. Everybody should be making a request every year for their funding, in my opinion. But I think, again, that'll be a finance committee discussion point that I'd like to have. And then the other question that I had was, we don't at this point in time have anything that requires on any off year that they share with us a budget or any year-end financials from the previous year or any year-to-date financials. I'm not sure that some of these small groups would have comprehensive year-to-date financials. That could be challenging for them, but I think that's something the finance committee should consider when people are requesting the dollars. Should we be asking them for the budget for the upcoming year and also asking for the year-end financials from the previous year so we can understand how they were doing? So those are two questions that I'd like to have some feedback on.
Yeah, I think that's, seems like a no-brainer to me. I think I'd want to know if, for example, if a group had, $250,000 in a bank account and they were coming to us for 10 grand or something, that's something I'd want to know. And I think it's common practice to show a budget when you're asking for public dollars. I think that's a no-brainer.
Okay.
I think one reason, and I agree with that, one of the reasons we put in, I think, the second paragraph there was that we didn't want all these organizations coming and presenting at City Council, but it would be my recommendation they submit to the finance committee meeting when we're talking about the budget, unless you guys would rather see them at city chambers.
I think that's a great question, Toby. So I think the question on the table would be, do we feel that every year everyone should submit, should present to finance committee?
Or to council.
Or to council. I like your idea of finance committee versus full council, but it may not be something committee of the whole. That might become a committee of the whole meeting because likely everybody would want it, but any feedback on that?
I don't know that we need a physical presentation every single year. Periodically, perhaps that would be nice to get a sense of not just where they've been, but where they anticipate that they're going. I'm in agreement with Patrick that having a copy of the proposed budget or the current year budget as they ask for additional funding seems to me to be a reasonable thought process. I have no issue with that at all. That should be part of it, regardless of whether they've been receiving funds for 1 year or 101 years. That shouldn't make any difference. We need to understand where we sit in their funding stack and all that sort of stuff. And to Patrick's point, if they've got $250,000 sitting in their cash reserve balances and they're asking us for 10 grand a year, you know, is that still an appropriate use of our taxpayer dollars?
So do you think that there is, welcome Doug joining us now.
Thank you, Mary.
So do you think that it makes sense, a budget doesn't show what their current financial position really is, it shows what they're projecting for the next year. So along with budget, would we want to see some sort of year-end financials or some sort of year-to-date financials?
To me, year-end would be fine. I mean, I don't know that any of these organizations, you know, are varying that much in their cash flows from, you know, 8 months earlier when they were putting the budget together. That if they were, then we probably have heard about it already.
Yeah.
But
and
year-end
finances
are easy. Prior year-end is fine in my mind.
I agree.
Do you think we should have feedback about others who are funding them, other grants that they're getting, and from whom?
Yeah. I'd like to see that. A comprehensive open book financial picture, however you want to say it, but yeah, makes sense to me.
I'm not sure that I'd go that far. Maybe the top few, you know, a handful maybe. I don't know if I made a $150 donation to Sylvania Community Services that, you know, that they should show a list of it. And maybe they
that's
do that already.
And maybe public funds, though. That's kind of where my mind is.
Okay.
Yeah. I think mine as well.
Yeah. Because if they're coming to us for 20 grand and they're going to the township for 500 bucks, maybe that's something we'd want to know. Mm-hmm. You know.
No, I've got no issue with that. That makes sense.
But I do think that also funds that would come from CIC, I don't think we're looking at individual donations.
No. When I said I agree, I was thinking public funds, and I think any public funds they're getting should be okay out there.
So, Doug, just for your information, we're starting with this, and I think that the question on the table has been, there seems to be, there might be a few revisions that we would want to consider here, and so far, I think the discussion has driven us to, every year they would need to make a request, share with us their projected budget for the next year, include year-end financials and any grant funding that they've received in the past year from any public funds that they've received. So far, those are the things I think we've heard. There's another question still on the table, and that's your question. But Doug, to bring you up to speed, do those things sound okay to you?
Yeah, they sound fine to me. If we had followed this resolution, we would be in better shape than where we've been.
Right.
So, and I know Mark spent a lot of time on this, and I think he was less concerned about some of the other issues because of the familiarity that council had with the organizations that were requesting our support. These are all good additions, I think. But I think there was an underlying assumption that we knew that information going into putting this together. I think that's where Mark was coming from at the time.
Well, I think this is a few years old too. It hasn't really been revisited at all. I think it was an excellent document. Our first attempt at it, Mark did a great job, but I think it's always good to review these.
It is, and I'm comfortable with those changes.
Okay. One thing I want to throw out on the table, and I don't know that I have a strong opinion one way or the other, But when DSA approached us some years ago, and I'm sure get into that conversation here in a few moments, but when DSA approached us some years ago, one of the things that we asked them was, hey, if we're going to provide this funding, we want to see it at the table to understand what's going on today. I don't know that we require that of all the other entities that are receiving our funding sources. Should we, you know, put that requirement in the policy as well, or should, I know that, I think the chamber has somebody now on the board represented by the city, but I don't know about the other entities. And should that be something that we require or just strongly encourage?
I believe all of them do have somebody at the table right now. I think that we did work for that goal this year, but I don't know that it's a requirement, and it may be a requirement in the policy. I mean, wait, is that something we should add?
Is this, you know, is this like SageArt, or is this some other, you know, organization that's more formal in that regard, or is this just, hey, you know, we really want somebody at a seat at the table, and as long as they're cooperative with it, then there's no issue?
Yeah, maybe we could be worded that at if we want to, so we're not binding ourselves to putting somebody on every board. If I'm thinking, if in years down the road, if there are many more organizations in this category, if we want to hold ourselves to putting a person on every single, or should we say, if however you want to word it, if we want a seat on the board, we are entitled to one. You're getting public funds.
Could be upon request or something like that, or there could be a dollar figure tied to that, although certainly that would be a challenging circumstance, I think.
Yeah, it's a thought.
I'm not married to the idea, but I know that that was something we did ask DSA to do for us, and they modified, they changed their bylaws, some other revisions that they were going through, and I don't know what the circumstances are with the other entities. But if we already have somebody represented on all of them anyways, I'm not sure that I'm too fired up about adding it as a requirement, but making it an optionality.
There's actually a council member on all of them except for Chamber and Dose is on that board. So we do, but we haven't made it a requirement. I think it's been a well-received request from our partners. So that might be something that we, I think you made a great point, Patrick, that if we wind up with a bunch more people, we may not be able to have enough bandwidth to provide that support. So I think that's something that maybe we could even say upon request or something like that. We want some generic feedback. Thank you. So yeah, we do have somebody on all of them.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. So I think, for starters, perhaps if we could, to get back to Toby's question. Toby inquired about whether we would like to have somebody participate, have everybody be required to come and make a presentation every year for their funding. And Mark Fry had some feedback about that, indicating he didn't feel that was necessary. I think we could say upon request, once we've reviewed their information, if something creates a question or if they're asking for significant additional funding, or then we maybe have some language that simply indicates that upon request you may be required to present before the Finance Committee or something like that.
Yeah, I think seeing a financial statement would be sufficient for a lot of these. I can look over a spreadsheet and know, but I don't think I need a physical presentation every year from every group. That sounds like a bit much.
If we have a question, we can always request them. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think what I heard so far is that we would like to have a letter of request every year. We would like to have a budget for the next year. And we would like to have some year-end financials. And we would like to have a listing of any other public funds that they're receiving. Does that sound right?
One thing that I would suggest that we add, not necessarily financials in the next 5 years, but I think one of the questions is, where are you going? What are your future objectives? Where are you headed?
Yeah.
Some of it is relatively self-explanatory based on that type of organization.
With 5-year goals or something.
Again, the current policy calls for how the funds will be used and the benefit to city residents.
you're talking about something different. Right?
I think it's more of a vision. I think that's good. I think I'm fine with that provision too, Doug.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just looking at the existing resolution. You would add,
in future years, maybe, rather than singular, but plural.
Okay.
Modify it in that way to force them to think out beyond the next 12 months.
How the funds will be used and the benefits to city residents in the next 3 to 5 years or something like that.
How the funds will be used to support the vision, your vision for the next, something more like, we just want to know.
Where they're headed.
Right.
A pretty good idea where staff boat is headed, you know, and some of the other, obviously the others, but.
I think there's some that may not be as clear about it. I mean, the people who sit at the table with them may have an idea.
Absolutely.
Of everybody's got a 3 to 5 year plan, but I'm not sure that all of them do. And so do we tie their hands by putting anything too structured in there? It may be something that has some qualifying language that says, we'd like it, if you have 3 to 5 year goals, we'd like to have a copy of them.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask if there is a motion to make those adjustments to the legislation. Again, those adjustments are a request for funding every year, showing the budget, showing the year-end financials, showing...
The year-end is the previous year?
Previous
because
year.
We're asking for this. We're going to ask for this.
Yes, it would be previous year.
So we'd ask for the 2019 year-end financials right now, right?
Right.
I thought we had it.
It's 90 days before last council date is when they have to have it.
Have it in writing.
So it'd be September. So in September, we'd be asking for the previous year's financial statements.
And that would remain.
If I could make a suggestion, 90 days before the last council, that's a math quiz.
Let's just pick a date
and say by this day, by August the 15th, this is when it needs to show up, or September 1st. I don't know what the date is, but what specific specifically on it.
September 1.
So they're not searching around for the last council meeting and then...
Is September 1 timely enough for you?
Yep.
Okay. So we'll make that adjustment. A lot of them. Okay. So we're going to try one more time to get the pieces for the motion. Anything else?
Provided that the Department of Law understands what we're talking about here, then I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
So, it's been moved and seconded that we make adjustments to the legislation showing, requiring a requested letter, showing budget for the next year, showing previous year-end financials, requesting any public funds. If you have a 3 to 5 year goals, sharing those with us, and that you make any requests by September 1 of the previous, of the calendar year. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. Thank you so much. So once that legislation is complete, we will make sure that we communicate this to the entities impacted by it. And administration will manage that and let us know how you're just taking that. Does that make sense? Okay. So with that, now we'll move on to the DSA request. So certainly DSA members came in and made a wonderful presentation. We know that the Downtown Pennsylvania Association is wonderful and doing great work in our community. It's done a lot to lift our community up in many positive ways. One of the things that we know is they're currently requesting a commitment to $15,000 a year going forward. I think Toby, I asked Toby to put some information together. He did a great job. Let's see if I can find the list in my stack here. Oh, yeah, there I have it. So one of the things that we wanted to make sure we're clear on is that when we started funding them, we did fund them at $16,000 in 2018, and they were notified they would be getting a sunset policy. And $12,000 in 2019, $6,000 in 2020, and we're supposed to go to zero after that. So we shared that with them when it first occurred, and we did not hear anything back from them until November of 2020 about them wanting additional funds. So again, that was disappointing at best. but certainly they did a nice job in their presentation. You can see here, additionally, the things that are going on in terms of the history of their surpluses and what they are directing the revenue request to. It's being directed to salary. So I am looking to you for some feedback, some perspectives, and if most specifically right now, I think the question on the table is, are we wanting to make an adjustment to the budget this year, or do we want to fold them into the process for next year and allow them to come and have this conversation or make this request in the same way that the others will be?
My observation is that this organization is one of the most impactful on quality of life and perception of our city in among our residents. I think they're doing a great job. I think they are I think they're having a significant positive impact on our community. I think of the folks that we fund, we get a big bang for our buck on this in terms of perception of the city. I don't want to make a long-term commitment, but I would be very comfortable giving them the $15,000 they want this year and putting them into this process going forward.
Go ahead.
Patrick, I
consider
your this way.
Yeah, I am. And I agree with Doug's point, but I think with for our public dollars that we give to these groups, I mean, to see the ROI with DSA, it's it seems to be the most tangible. And I totally agree. I think they're just a phenomenal organization and do a ton for our city. You know, it's just yeah, it's tough for increases like this when we you know, I've been in other finance committee meetings where we've talked about delaying you know, infrastructure projects or things like that due to financial reasons. So that's just what I'm trying to wrap my head around. But I totally agree that this organization does a great job and is a benefit to the city.
I don't think any of us question that. I think that, you know, the real question is, does it make sense for us to make an exception, and what does that mean for other exceptions that might walk into this location, into our council in the future? I would share with you, I asked Bill to prepare some information as well about other organizations' funding. And I think you should just be aware of this. And Bill, you might speak to this a little bit.
Sure, thanks, Mary. Just like we do in a lot of things, we check with the local or areas, other cities, and what they do. I reached out to Maumee, Perrysburg, and Bowling Green. Oregon doesn't have a downtown.
Finley, too.
Finley, that's right. Finley is not on here. I did also talk to them. Finley, it would be lumped in with those others that none of them are giving direct funding to their downtown group. But every city you encounter has a unique situation. In Perrysburg and Long Beach, they waive fees, they're not charging them anything. And in Perrysburg, for sure, their Convention and Visitors Bureau gives them money. You know, they get money from that, and that's their bed tax. And that's the money. And we have one hotel, and we do receive something from our bed tax. More on what that is for us, and but that too differs in every community. Ours is pretty small compared to. We have 84 hotel rooms in our city, and Maumee has 1,200, so they have quite a nice fun with that. Then in branching out and checking other areas, and talk to Worthington, and they have a great I guess it would have been their rate person, their staff member, called me back. They do, they give grants just like we do. They're exactly like us. They give money to their downtown. They give money to the Historic Society and the Arts Commission. They only have one hotel in Worthington. So they don't have a large convention and visitors bureau funding it from. That's part of the reason why they support it. But every city's finances are unique and different. So, so there is a precedent, and then Worthington follows the Main Street program, and I've been to, I think Katie's been to some of those. There, it's a program that the state operates to support the development of downtowns, and you can be a formal Main Street, or you can operate with the, following the principles. We've done some of that, and we've done studies and things, and they promote the connection with local governments and downtown groups. That is there. So it's...
Thank you. That's good feedback.
To me, I'm the one that came up with that I think initially proposed the mechanism of the sunset. So, and the reason that I proposed it a few years ago was because we didn't have a full understanding of what Redbird DSA combination was going to look like, whether it was going to work, whether it wasn't going to work. In my mind, that determination in my mind has passed. Obviously, to both Doug and Patrick's point, it's succeeding. It's doing really well. We've got people coming downtown. We have other communities calling us and asking how are we doing what we're doing. Those are all positive things. So there's some external buzz, not just an internal community level buzz. I do also expect that over time, Scott Stampelmeyer, who's the president of DSA, said we want to become independent, and he said that we were going to become independent. And because of that, I think the process that we kind of laid out earlier, where we're reviewing their financials on a periodic basis, is a good mechanism to evaluate it. But for the short term, I think we should continue to fund it at the level that they've requested, including 19, bump 19 up and going forward, but keeping an eye on them like we do all our partners going forward. Do they really need the resources based upon the circumstances that they're in? It's an economic development question, and right now I think we've got a lot of positive momentum and good stuff happening. We should try to do what we can reasonably to encourage it.
Where have they proved the need, though? If in 2018, if we didn't give them a cent, they would have ended positive. In 2019, they would have been a little bit negative. In 2020, they're going to be positive if we don't give them anything.
Toby, they could be positive tomorrow by not doing anything and not having all the people volunteer their time, and our downtown does what it does at that point. That's the issue. We have lots of people that are volunteering through the DSA effort. They're contributing their time to try to bring stuff to the downtown. If you're asking me whether DSA would collapse without this, I can't answer the question, but I don't know the people well enough to say, but I would be discouraged if I were them, that they recognize this circumstance. Some of these people are doing extra lifting in regards to their time, and to some extent it's to their benefit as well, because they have downtown businesses. But I kind of look at it and say, just because they've got a small balance at the end of the year doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to support them.
But we're operating a huge deficit, and they're operating as a surplus. Why are we giving them money?
I don't see it that way. What I see is they're maintaining, they had a $17,000 surplus, and by surplus they had a $17,000 balance. In 2018, they have a $19,000 balance. They're projecting a $19,000 this year. What that really means is they're spending our money every year. I mean, the balance isn't.
See, the way I'm looking,
the balance isn't going from 17 to 29 to 45. Okay, they're spending the money. They just have. They're keeping the money. They're keeping the money.
No, in 2020, they would not spend our $15,000. It would go right into their reserves.
That's the way I'm looking at it too.
Yeah,
because they're planning on banking 19 grand they're planning on putting in 19 grand into their bank account.
And what I would share with you, if you recall from the meeting, what they said is that currently they have a fund balance in their bank account of $22,000. I don't know, that's above and beyond this.
Which is 3 months. So, I mean.
It's not like it's a ton of money, I get that.
They're not sitting on millions of dollars, it's 3 months worth of their current budgeted expenses, which most people sit back and say, you should have 6 months sitting aside, a lot of people don't, obviously, but you should have 6 months sitting aside.
And I think they did what we asked them to do, and that was to go out and identify ways to raise additional money. We supported them through DOR, they are bringing in additional money through DOR, and that's good. I thought it was interesting to see that as those things lift up, the memberships have gone down, the business memberships. I don't know what they're doing there, if there's been, you know, that would be a part of the manager's responsibility to make sure she's talking to businesses about why they're reducing the membership fees. But that to me is a question mark. So if we're going to continue to fund them, there may not be a reason for the businesses to step up and to really be.
Yeah, that's concerning for me too, because are they wanting to rely more on the public funds and not putting as much time as collecting membership dues or signing up new members? Because a 24% decrease is pretty significant. So to see that from their end and then asking us for an increase seems, again, I'm not saying I'm against what they've asked here. I'm just maybe playing a little devil's advocate on this, because I do think it's worth the conversation to look at this.
I know we don't want to have a, Mary, I read your email and you don't want to expand this to a discussion of overall.
That's
okay.
The policy.
Okay. So I won't talk about that.
But if there's something critical,
if I'm going to spend money, I want to spend money here, not where we're otherwise spending money. I'll be. And I will be more vocal. I will be much more vocal about that come this fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you do have over a $600,000 deficit, it should be, if you're going to take on that expense, you should be cutting it somewhere else, like you said. I know it's only, you know, $9,000, but that stuff adds up. You're already at a deficit of $600,000. I mean, we get a request every month, all during the negotiations, from the previous police chief and the current police chief, requesting to go back up to the level they were at with officers, and because of the budget constraints, we've been reluctant to do that, and now we're talking about giving to an organization so that they can pay their people more. To me, that doesn't make sense.
I'm in the pump on economic development in the downtown footprint, you know, for a long time by buying properties and doing other things, and I think those were solid decisions. I don't see this personally as any different. We eventually may be able to push them off, you know, into the pond and let them swim on their own. But right now, I don't know that they're ready. I'm concerned about the collections, and that was one of the things that's been in discussion over the last couple of board meetings at DSA about changing that structure, because there wasn't somebody paying attention. Basically, they would send the bill out, and the manager was working on other things rather than going around and making sure. That's one of the reasons why her responsibilities are being added to going out and collecting those funds from the others. Because some people get a bill in, they put it on the corner of their desk, and it goes by, and then it never gets worried about.
There's also something to be said that when you're working with an organization that is so based on volunteer hours, that the time that is being spent towards trying to get more funding versus using that critical time actually enhancing their programming can be the difference of this public funding. But I think we're having we're talking about one thing, but I don't think we never ever address the fact that why is this being considered when they address this late and they didn't show an emergency need of this will affect.
Excellent. This I did think that I opened with that, indicating that this was a November request, mm-hmm. well beyond the 90 days. Request. And
right.
So
we have
setting a precedent, right?
We have ourselves been delinquent in observing the 90-day requirement. So everybody else?
Somebody asked for an increase, so they didn't have to come to us.
Well, that's not what that says.
Yeah,
it is what it says. We talked about that before.
The paragraph right under number 2, section 1.
Which one?
The very bottom of the page.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, well, let's, okay, so we're going to change this, so this is an annual requirement, right? So that will make that better.
Yeah, well.
We have a finance policy that we're not observing either. Okay, we're not compliant with our existing finance policy. So let's comply with our existing policies. All right, let's do the projections that we've asked for, that we established as the things that we want to do. I know they're burdensome. I understand that, but let's do them, and then we can make these sorts of decisions. All right, in the short term, I'm talking 2020. I want to fund this DSA work. I want them to continue to do what they're doing. That's my position. And you know, if you want to change to that, that's fine. You all can do something different. My view is I want to fund this work. I also want to do those 5-year projections that we've talked about. I want to understand long term, and that 5-year projection includes how we're going to do this work on Monroe Street, and how we're going to fund that going forward. Okay, we did those financial policy. If we don't want to follow that, then we ought to make that decision. But
we do have a 5-year plan.
Well, okay, we need to present. Need to present that. That's
well,
get
the finance committee to do. I do think that we have had that discussion. I had that conversation with the mayor, and I know that those pieces are in place. I did not want to bring that to this meeting because that wasn't the agenda.
Well, that.
So what I would share with you is I do think that Lindsay's point about the emergency fund needs and missing the deadline. I live in this space every day, so I'm a little more critical.
Mm-hmm.
I would never get funded by somebody that I miss
right.
this. And I would also, and short of having an emergency need, not have anybody that I could go to and make the request that they made, period. So I find
I,
it
I live in this area too. You know, I mean, I'm on the executive board of the Boy Scouts of America. I know how hard this is, and I get that. We do have angels when we need to get things done. We have.
So we're the angel for.
We know where to go.
Angel in our way.
Okay, Mark. This is going up to $15,000. Can you tell us what they're going to do differently this year if they get this funds versus if they don't? That just makes a good question. They're doing great things downtown, but is there money going in the bank, or is there a program change as a result of the funding?
I think it depends on what sort of they're putting the two parklets in. And they went to the CIC to get a loan. The question is, what sort of grants are they going to get? If they're going to get the grants that they hope, then they basically go into the CIC for a loan to help fund the parklets. They've got some funding in hand.
The Rotary Foundation, well, they weren't at the Rotary Foundation board. Their request was, and that's been continued, waiting for more information.
Okay.
So they won't know that one in for 2 more months.
And that's part of what the parklets they want to put in sooner rather than later.
They have CIC funding alone that's going to carry them.
Correct. So the question becomes, are they going to go broke if we don't fund it in 2020?
No. Let me ask the question again. What are they going to do with the additional funds, assuming they get the grant money?
My understanding is they're going to continue to move forward and try to step up their activities. As far as something specific of what specifically is going to change in downtown,
and they've been very creative in the past.
Because we give them $9,000,
Those could be really good programs. But I think that's part of the discussion.
According,
I have another issue. How do I explain to the Art Commission that we don't think as much of them as we do as DSA? The DSA has been funded more than the Art Commission now for the last 3 years, and we're going to institutionalize that and give them almost twice as much. What's the logic there?
Well, I guess the question I have back to you is, what specifically has the Arts Commission done to increase the activity in downtown Sylvania?
They have a main festival every year, which brings large crowds downtown. Lindsay's on our representative on that board. How does she go back and say, hey, you guys should come in for more money because it's easy now? I'm having problems with that.
Go ahead, Katie.
So, I agree that the DSA has done tremendous things, and I feel like we value all of our community organizations, and maybe some years one organization is doing more than another, people change, situations change, and I feel like these amounts, I think they were set before I was even on council, and I wonder if we value them all equally, if somehow we need to like make all the funding equal, if we need to go back and say, split it, how many organizations do we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and take Toby's $58,000 and split it 5 ways, and then we're valuing everybody equally, and we're not saying we like one person more or one organization more than the other, we're giving you more money, we're giving everybody the same, and these are the community organizations that are contributing positively to the fabric of our community.
And that does go both ways. I mean, there's what are we giving to Heritage Sylvania?
137 this year.
So
then you also have to look at, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, but then you also have to look at what is the actual programming that they're adding into the community, and what is the ability to justify the change that those are coming. And for some of these, it does require higher amounts. I mean, for a fact, Heritage Sylvania maintains historical buildings, and that will require more.
Heritage Sylvania.
I know, I was using that as an example.
Sorry, that's under there, but
we own them, and that's a more complicated situation.
Sounds like you might be looking at whether or not the funding structure as a whole should be reassessed.
Right, and but I think if everybody is going to have equal value, then maybe we may fund them more equally.
And I think that's part of the fall discussion around budget, once we've seen all of these pieces and just got all the information.
If we can tell everybody that that's the direction that we're going, I mean, when you tell somebody a year ahead of time that we're going to equalize the funding, it gives them time to prepare instead of waiting until budget season, and they go, oh, crap, we're short. Versus a year ahead of time, then they can say, all right, I get it. Everybody's equal around here. We're going to make some adjustments. We're going to try harder to raise money, and now we have time.
Okay, and we're ready to make those decisions in the short term, and it's going to take a lot of time to sort through that. But I would say this. What I think the mayor makes some good points about the Arts Commission. I also think that we are concerned about the fact that they didn't come in at a decent time. We've never heard from them in 3 years that they didn't like the plan that I know of. So at the 11th hour, they come in and ask for this money.
Do we meet them? DSA.
DSA, I'm sorry, did I misspeak? Do we meet them partway? Rather than fully funding them, that $15,000, do we meet them partway?
And I don't think it's fair to say that we haven't heard from them. I mean, they were given a clear message when we set up that 3 year, and they knew that they were.
But they didn't come in and ask for more money, is what I'm seeing until. No, we've heard great things from them. They've done great things.
For 3 years, they didn't come back because we were pretty clear that this is all we're going to give you. We're cutting back.
So, Mary, are you suggesting that we fund 2021 at the 15 and let the 6 sit where it's at?
I think that's one option, although I think 2020, they'd have to go through the process, because if we're going to establish a process, we want to be true to that process.
Sure.
So I'm really not locked into anything either. But the question was, thinking about the Arts Commission at 9,000, do we stake them? We'll fund you partial part of that. We'll meet you partway, 9,000 or 10,000. Do we do a portion of the 15,000? I'm not sure that that's the right thing either. But I would share with you that I did have quite a lengthy conversation with Toby, and I did ask Toby to please share his thoughts and to be vocal today about his concerns about, you know, we are facing a budget deficit in our capital area. Toby and I spoke about the 5-year plan. I know that he's ready to share that with the Finance Committee. So as not to bring it to this meeting. But I would say we definitely want to think about the precedent we're setting. We're thinking about, what happens to the other organizations when they learn of this. Not that I think anything will happen, quite frankly. I don't think anybody will jump up and ask for more money at the 11th hour. So what I hear is some support for that $15,000. I don't know that I hear full support for that. But I just would say, is there another price point that we would entertain? Would we want to consider 9,000 the same as what we're doing for the Arts Commission? Do we want to simply
this year?
I mean, I think we want to do something that supports them certainly in the future, but I think that becomes a part of the 2021 discussions. I don't know what that is right now.
I'm sorry if I'm speaking. I'm not on the committee, so I'm not sure.
No, fine. You can say that.
Okay. I fully support DSA. I want them to get the funding they need to be able to continue what they're doing. But I am very concerned about setting a precedent that organizations can come to us late, not under an emergency circumstance, asking for more money. And without there being a definitive answer of what they want to do with those funds this year, combined with the fact that they came past the date that they knew was coming for 3 years, that makes me wonder how, if that's really a good precedent for us to be setting. Now, if this was a DSA won't be able to have these other programs or this event, or they need to have this because they could get rained out, and that eliminates one of their main fundraising events. Like, okay, we could see that, but it doesn't seem there is a particular emergency need for us to make a special circumstance after you guys already spent so much time discussing this budget. You guys already put the time in figuring out where the money should go, and to reassess that, to then have to do it again later, it doesn't seem like the circumstance deserves that.
A quick question for the financial people. So what, so they took out a loan from the CSE, and then what happens if all their events get rained out, like for some reason, like what happens, like could they pay back their loan, if could they end up in a situation, a dire situation?
According to their presentation, they're going to get $30,000 in sponsorship, so their loan's pretty much paid off already. Because I understand a loan's $30,000, $10,000 a year, so it sounds like.
But the sponsorships, they don't have them in hand yet. They say they're going to get $30,000. They also say they're going to make $10,000 from the Spring Festival, but again, if it gets rained out, 10 grand goes up in smoke. That's the point. To predict whether we're going to get rain in the spring or the fall is impossible at this point, right?
Well,
I don't know that we should make this decision based upon whether it rains on a festival day for any of the organizations, regardless of what we're looking at.
Because I believe that any organization that runs into a true financial emergency, they would probably come in and talk to us about it and ask for city support. I don't know that we could grant it, but I think that it would become a dialogue. So,
our plan for 2021 is to do a zero-based budgeting approach, correct?
Yes.
For what?
Are you talking about just the community programs or the budget?
Yeah, no, budget.
The budget, yes. If you're
budget. No, I'm also talking about
I'm not making a decision on the community programs, but the budget is always zero-based.
That means
you start from zero.
Everybody goes back to zero and we start anew. That's part of changing the policy.
Well, again, the guidelines will be there, and they'll start, and we'll take a fresh look at them because of the change in the policy.
My point is that I want to see this information from these organizations, whether they're asking for an increase or not.
That's right.
That's actually a really good idea. So start at zero. And I feel like we need to somehow make sure that everybody knows we're starting at zero.
Again, it shouldn't change for them. They're going to make their request of us of whatever amount they want. We're the ones that are making the decision about the zero-based funding, and if we can fund them at the levels of their request. I don't think we want to drive their dollar figure for the request.
I just would like everyone to make sure that they know the policy is changing, and
we can
do that.
We'll make sure they know the policy.
I don't want anyone to like.
That's a good idea. We'll send them a copy of the policy.
If we're going to do that for this portion of the budget, at least, then we should be prepared to sit down and listen to their presentations as to why they need the money too, because otherwise, we're just going to get the same thing as we got in the last 18 years. 15 grand, 9 grand, whatever it is, because they know if they ask for more, it's going to create this conversation regardless of the timing. And if they don't, ask, and that always, so they just come in at the same number and live with it.
I think it'd be a very healthy exercise to let them all present this year. And it would probably, that might be something in the future that we do consider, is maybe every third or fifth year, there's got to be a presentation of something.
Yeah, I think that should include Heritage Sylvania.
And Heritage Sylvania, I'm sure, would be happy to do that.
And I know they've done that in the past, but yeah. We also need to understand, because to Katie's point, we do own the ground, we do own the maintenance, what would it cost us if they folded? Because it's not a zero-sum game.
Right.
That's 137 in, but there's a cost of operating that, those facilities, maintaining those buildings, and we need to understand, because it's not a zero-sum game. Just like it isn't when we charge fees for closing the streets for one of these festivals, we send them a bill, they pay it, some of that is coming back to us through our funding, regardless of the community structure.
The downtown property is in huge demand right now.
Good. Let's think about, I'm going to ask if there's anybody feels inclined to put a motion on the table regarding this decision on the DSA at this moment.
Are we talking for the 2020 request?
We're talking for this current request, the 2020 request. So I'm actually glad to see people are pausing to think about it. That's a good thing. And I do think that...
I'm not thinking about it.
Well, you know what you are, Doug. I think the other thing is, if it doesn't go through, we certainly can indicate if there's an emergency need that we would entertain that at a future date. But right now, I think we just need to decide where we feel like we can land this year.
I'll make a motion to increase their funding to the 15 grand for 2020, recognizing that we're going back to zero for 2021.
Okay.
So there's a motion on the table to increase funding for the DSA to $15,000 this year, and recognizing that they will be returned to a zero funding next year.
With all the other words, starting with all the, along with all the other words.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So we will move forward with that $15,000 funding, and we do set a new precedent. Thank you very much. Any other business to come before Finance Committee? Hearing none, this meeting adjourns at 9 o'clock.